Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while, we gotta the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up. Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe to bring you, let's discover together, shall we? Why? Because I have a stack of stuff you sent to idea at wretched.org. What to do with it? It's all so good and yet not enough for an entire segment. So what's a talk show host to do? Assemble it, slap on a dated theme song, and call it Wide World of Christian Stories. Oh, I'm bad. Kind of hit my post right there. This is Wretched Radio. Although I suppose we should use Olympic music. That would make us more contemporary and hip and cool or something like that. The Olympics are in February, I believe. The Winter Olympics, if I'm not mistaken.
I actually heard that the other day and had no clue.
I saw the commercial is what I saw. And actually, it was actually a genuinely funny commercial. I can't recreate it for you because, well, it wasn't that memorable. But it was like, oh, that's funny. And it was remarkable in that most commercials that try to be funny aren't. Have you noticed that? It's like, really? Or just mug face. Like somebody just go, oh, I know the one that gets me. Could somebody hire some comedians, some writers for Will Ferrell and his commercials? It's like dude sitting in a bathtub with a plastic shower cap on. Ah, that was funny when Lucille Ball was popular. When Milton Berle was a thing, that type of thing would have played just fine. Not so much today. Let's span the globe, shall we, and see what we've got. Oh, Jimmy, this one's very exciting, and it's from our hometown, Alpharetta, Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm reading about this Fortis. I wonder where the accent goes. Fortis. An institute, they're having a match giving campaign because year-end giving is so important. And right now would be a really, really good time to join them. If and you can, if you're already supporting your local church and you have excess funds and you would like to support a ministry that's going to go nuts in 2026. I'm just telling you, we're doing a lot. God has been kind to us to open up doors. These are genuine ministry doors, campuses that we will be visiting to bring the gospel and proclaim King Jesus. That's the message. There's no king like Jesus. If you would be kind enough to consider supporting us in that endeavor and, well, everything else we do here at Fortis Institute, I'm not sure how to say it, Fortis Institute. You can do so, learn more, and potentially become a gospel partner at fortisinstitute.org/donate. fortisinstitute.org/donate. Nice to get a story right here in our hometown.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Let's go to Britain, shall we? Do you know what the Magna Carta is? Well, it has been used in British law now for 810 years, specifically regarding trial by jury. That's what made the Magna Carta, among other things, so special. Well, not so much anymore. Isn't it good to be enlightened? Isn't it good that we know so much more than those morons from 1,000 years ago? I mean, really? Just because they were building civilizations, their architecture was staggering without the computers that we use today. They were dumb. They were just dumb. So whatever they believed, we need to toss that out. And so it is in Great Britain. That's exactly what they're doing. They want to eliminate jury trials for jail sentences less than 3 years. That means you no longer have a right if it's, you know, something that will just get you through. Now, they'll do it for the big stuff, but not for the little stuff. And by the way, what is some of the little stuff? Have you noticed the slew? And I mean slew. Of videos on the internet machine where people are getting arrested for being moral in Great Britain. For instance, here is just one example, and I've got a number of them, and another one is from Canada, I think a couple from Canada to boot. British woman convicted of hate crime for calling her attacker a gay slur. She claims 11 police officers entered her home to arrest her while she was in the bath. Here's the skinny. The woman was convicted of a hate crime because she was beaten up by a man and then sent text messages to a friend calling the man a slur. Well, just, it was a, by the way, it was a slur that was like every fourth word when I was in sixth grade. It just, that was, that's just what you called everybody back then. But that was back then. Today, it's considered violence because words are violence, don't you know? In fact, sorry for the digression, but I just happen to have it right here providentially. Over 90% of college students think words can be violence. We'll get back to that in just a moment. This woman used that type of violence and she got arrested while sitting in the bathtub by 11 police officers because we can't have that sort of violence in Great Britain. Now, that'll probably get her less than 3 years, which means she doesn't have a right to a jury, which means some appointed judge or elected official can sentence her for hate speech. Here's another one for you. Canadian pastor arrested after refusing court-ordered apology for protesting drag queen events at public library. Now, I don't know the details. I don't know how it went down, but he just seemed like an average dude who broke his parole. Why? Well, he had done the protesting. He was told to knock it off in 2023 because he intimidated a librarian by protesting an event at the library where men in lingerie were reading to children. Oh, insert violent eye roll here. We can't call that out because it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. Hello? Really? Really? We have grown men dressed up as women, caricatures of women, really. And we can't point that out and say, wrong? Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. So after intimidating this librarian for protesting at the library, he'd been on a year-long house arrest, which was set to end next month when he refused to apologize. And that breached his sentence conditions. So they arrested the dude. And his kids were there. I could have grabbed the sound for you, but it wasn't great. But what you do here is the little boy yelling, "Daddy." Okay, great. That's just terrific. Giving away our nations. And as long as we're in Canada, they're number one. That's right. We can say this definitively and authoritatively. Canada is number one in something. You say, Todd, in what are they number one? Euthanizing people. That's right. They set a world record. Congratulations. 16,499 people were euthanized in 2024. 58% died of euthanasia in Canada in 2024. Why? Distress, anxiety, fear, existential suffering. That's up 20%. 22.9% died by euthanasia because of loneliness. So that's all it takes. I feel alone. Hey, doctor, you know that whole Hippocratic business? Well, forget about it. They were dumb too, because that was really old. Please help kill me. Canada, congratulations. Let's go to Nigeria, shall we? And I'm just picking this one because it is just represents so many. Have you noticed a proliferation of stories of Christian persecution around the globe? And I mean ugly business. This is just one. Gunmen abduct 215 school children and 12 teachers. The religion of peace, of course, is responsible for that. This is going on in Africa and around the globe. Be praying for our Christian brothers and sisters. Hey, congratulations, Miss England. I guess they still, I don't, should they call it Miss England? Shouldn't they just call it Human Inc.? No, that's got the word man in it. Person. No, that's got the word son in it. And that's historically, those white Christian males said that that was a boy assigning them the name son at birth. What do we call a
people?
People. Well, if you try, you can take three letters from people. Spells pop. That's a term for father.
Yeah.
And that's sexist. And that's violent. Those are violent words that you're using right there. 90% of college students think words can be violence. Shouldn't be shocked at that. That is the fruit of expressive postmodernism. That is the fruit of CRT. And that worldviews have consequences. Well, Miss England, or whatever you want to oppress her with, she won as the first out lesbian. Well, that's cool. She says it shouldn't make any difference, but she used it as a part of her platform for winning Miss England. Congratulations. I was just reading somebody, I can't remember. Was it the guy that we talked about yesterday? Freitas, maybe? At any rate, we really are living in two different countries right now, aren't we? How long will we be compatible? This is Wretched Radio.
You know what momentum feels like? When the work you've been doing for years, it starts to reach people you never dreamed you'd reach. That's what 2025 has been for Fortis Institute. We're on over 600 radio stations now, over 120 TV networks. Our Fortis Plus app is streaming on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, everywhere people are watching. And something we never thought we'd do, we closed the warehouse. Every single resource we have is now completely free. 300,000 Play the Man booklets made it into the hands of students this year. We had three campus events attended by students who are hungry for truth. Our Fellows podcasts are all ranking in the top 5% worldwide. Dr. Greg Gifford released his new book, and millions, literally millions, are watching on YouTube. But here's the thing about momentum. You can't coast. You have to keep pushing, and that's why December matters so much. Every gift you give this month is matched dollar for dollar up to $500,000. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now. Give today and double your impact. Let's keep the momentum going.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Kreutz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and, of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Revelation. Is the Bible really God's word, or is it just a collection of human ideas? Here are a few words the Bible uses to describe itself. Perfect, God-breathed, authoritative, without error, the word of the living God. The Bible is God's inspired and trustworthy word to humanity, through which he makes himself known and continues to draw us to himself. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And the award goes to... This is Wretched Radio. That's right. That was a sound effect. You see, We don't get into that computerized stuff around here. Everybody leaning on the AI business. Oh, not us. That's an actual human drum roll right there. Speaking of AI, where is that? I've got an article here that shows the number, the percentage of pastors. That's not it. The percentage of pastors who are using AI. You won't be shocked that it's just exploding, the number of pastors who are using it. The question is, for what are they using it? Are they using it for research? Well, okay, but you got to be really careful with that because AI can really take advantage of that and do way more preparation than they should be allowed to. Do research, fine. Find a date, find a source, find a quote, fine. And by the way, finding quotes, do not trust AI. I'm telling you, I have had enough experience with it now. Unless you can verify with an actual source, I told my AI machine, because I'll use it to look for quotes from a, typically from Puritans, please find me a quote from so-and-so talking about thus and thus. And do not make up the quote. Never, ever make up quotes. Only give me verifiable, certifiable, direct quotes from the source. Understood. Gives me a bunch of quotes. I click on the source. I don't see the actual quote. So I go back to the AI machine and I say, hey, I checked out that source. That quote doesn't appear. Oh, sorry. That seems to be something that we think that maybe that Puritan would have said, but we cannot find an actual direct quote. And it has happened to me easily a dozen times, which leads me to think, if it's happening with something that I can verify, how much bad information is being cranked out by the AI machine? How much false information are people downloading into their brain, making decisions about things that are potentially going to have very bad results? Here it is right here. 2/3, 61% of pastors report using AI weekly or daily for applications such as sermon preparation. That's a foul. Pastor, please do not let AI write your sermon. Do not let AI outline your sermon. I get it. This is a bit of an art as well as a science when it comes not just to plagiarism, but leaning on somebody else. You don't need AI to cheat. You can go read somebody else's sermon and just grab the outline. That's not just lazy. I think that you're robbing yourself and your congregation of the hard work that goes into thinking it through, coming up with this is the outline of the text. This is what the text reveals to me as I read this and study it and regurgitate and prepare for this congregation. So it's being used for sermon prep, which I think is a big no-no. Research, okay. But be careful if your AI research is keeping you from doing any studying. So you don't do any other reading. You're not going through, whether it's theology books or any book, frankly, if you're not continuing to study, then you shouldn't be leaning on the AI machine for that. And crafting church communications. Well, there's an interesting one, Jimmy, that the letter from the pastor could be written by AI. You got a problem with that? It's not sermon prep.
It depends on what's in it.
Hey, congregation. And it'll be really brilliantly written because AI can. It can.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It can really make it like, wow. But you can almost tell. You can AI, to me, is still like a dubbed foreign film. I'm sorry. It's just not, no. It doesn't sound, it's sort of like the AI music we listened to last week. The number one Spotify Christian worship song was AI. I could just tell. Because the human voice doesn't sing the way that thing did. It was too perfect. And it you could tell that it just hit way upper range notes without any strain or struggle. And it's like, no, that's what makes listening to music interesting. Regardless, AI, it can write stuff. It can communicate very well. It's just not the actual pastor. Dear congregation, this weekend we're going to have a potluck and we're going to study Hebrews or something like that. And it'll be written brilliantly. In fact, kind of unnaturally, frankly, but nevertheless, it'll be really, really good. You got a problem with that, Jimmy? Pastor leaning on the AI machine for an email?
For an email.
Communication.
Yeah, I don't...
The poster that's marketing the upcoming Vacation Bible School.
Yeah, I don't think so. As long as it's not teaching.
Long as it's not teaching.
Yeah, I think that's...
Well, you know what? That's actually kind of interesting. Because you know what I was thinking it is akin to? When we look at the younger generation that doesn't learn math tables, times tables, mm-hmm. because they've got a calculator.
Yeah.
It's like, you should be able to know what 4 times 4 is instead of leaning on the calculator. Shouldn't we be able to send out an email?
Well, no, you're right about that, because that's pretty much the very reason that I kind of rejected AI for the most part, because I don't want to get in that habit.
You get stupider.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't get sharper.
Nope.
And you know what? You probably will sacrifice some cleverness or maybe some colorful language. And I don't mean like that kind of colorful language. You're going to sacrifice some of that. But there's got to be a line someplace, doesn't there? Where we're just letting our brains turn to mush as we let computers go about the business of doing everything for us. I'm sure that that thought right there, that'd probably make a good addition on the Tucker Carlson show right there. There's got to be some sort of conspiracy going on right there. He seems to be kind of into that stuff these days.
He does.
Have you known? I don't listen to him very often. I like Tucker. I know he's been getting into some hot water. I'm not commenting on that. I'm just saying he's a likable guy. I hope he's saved. I hope that he finds himself. This is, you know what? If I had a gift to give to Tucker Carlson for Christmas, this would be it. Tucker, we're going to search high and low, and we're going to find the best Bible teaching church near your home, and we're going to take you there and have you become a member who gives and shows up and serves and becomes a part of the life of a local community. I hope he's doing that. If he's not, that's whenever you see a Christian celebrity make some sort of profession of faith or some celebrity make a profession of faith, it's like, are you going to, what's your church? Tell me about your church. Because let me tell you, it's dicey enough when famous people get saved as to whether or not it's a genuine conversion. But if they do not have membership in a local church, it's like, it's just a matter of time. That's what I want for Russell Brand. That's why I'm actually kind of hopeful for Joe Rogan. I don't think that he's made a profession of faith at this point, but he is attending a Bible teaching church. And he seems to be rather enamored by it. He said, because the people are so nice. I guess the circles he runs in, it probably doesn't experience niceness very much, but he just is just infatuated with the fact that they're so friendly with him. And it's not just in church, it's in the parking lot. It's when he bumps into them elsewhere. So let's hope that Joe becomes a member of a church along with the rest of them. Best thing in the world for them. But that brings us back. It doesn't, but we needed to get back anyway to Ashley Madison winning the Boohoo Award. Why? Because they're lamenting the fact that they're losing business because of the AI girlfriend creation. I'm so sorry you can't connect people to sin outside of the inside of their marriages. I feel really bad about that. These are for people who are married seeking to have discreet relationships. That makes it sound so less sinful, doesn't it? The spokesperson, the ad executive, said she was concerned by the rapid growth of sites promoting AI relationships. Quote, AI dating is very new for us. How do we deal with competitors which allow you to build your own fantasy rather than having a real connection with a woman? I feel so sorry for you, Ashley, that people are sinning in a new way and you're getting left in the dust. Permit me to conclude the study that I cited a few minutes earlier. Over 90% of college students think words can be violence. It's true. There were 2,000 undergrads who were surveyed. Really, at Utah State or Utah Valley University, that's where Charlie Kirk was assassinated. The kids are actually nervous. They don't think that they have the liberty. The 2/3 of them think, I can't say what's on my mind for fear of violence. Furthermore, all students, 90%, think that words can be violence. And if you think that that's a mystery, I understand the, like, what? Words can be violence, sticks and stones, don't you know? The reason is because anybody who tries to disagree with you or express something that you don't believe in, they are challenging the very essence of you. It is akin to a physical assault, because expressive postmodernism says, ain't nobody going to tell you that you can do anything wrong ever. Don't you dare let them say no to you. And so when people do, guess what? Words are violence. One more reason. We're going to the campuses next year. If you'd kindly consider supporting us in our endeavor to do so, we would be mega grateful. FortisInstitute.org/donate. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News break, a production of Fortis Institute. Well, churches across America are turning nativity scenes into political theater and blasphemy at the same time. A Catholic church in Massachusetts, well, they've replaced the baby Jesus with a sign reading ICE was here. While another Catholic church in Illinois went even further than that. They're depicting the baby Jesus in zip ties being detained by ICE with Mary wearing a gas mask. I mean, using Christ to score political points against immigration policies that you don't like? That's not being creative. That's being heretical. And in the state of Missouri, State Senator Joe Nicola has tackled gender ideology in schools, and he's done it head on with a bill that would ban teachers from helping students transition to the opposite sex, even if one of the parents approves. The bill requires principals to notify parents within 72 hours if a student requests help with a social transition, and it mandates termination proceedings for educators caught grooming children. Meanwhile, in Colorado, school districts have just reached a settlement with a state athletic association, allowing them to reserve female sports and locker rooms for actual females. In Australia, they become the first nation to ban children under 16 from social media platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. That starts tomorrow. Platforms that fail to comply face fines up to $49.5 million. And the catch? Other platforms like Discord, Roblox, and Steam, they are getting exemptions. But they're the very platform where predators routinely groom children. And a Canadian country music star is calling for even tougher action after a 17-year-old Calgary boy used AI to create deep fake pornography of female classmates. The victims are now in drama counseling, and the country music star, Paul Brandt, says the boy may face nothing more than house arrest or conditional discharge because Canada's Supreme Court struck down mandatory minimum sentences for child sexual abuse material. And the European Union, they hit Elon Musk and X with a $140 million fine last week, claiming the platform deceives users by allowing anyone to obtain verified status without meaningful verification. Vice President J.D. Vance fired back, saying the EU should be supporting free speech, not attacking American companies. And Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, called it an attack on all American tech platforms and the American people by foreign governments. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis proposed an AI bill of rights to protect Americans from both foreign and domestic tech overreach. The proposal prohibits Chinese AI tools, bans AI therapy, provides parental controls, and blocks taxpayer subsidies for big tech data centers. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Names of God. Is Jesus God? One name given to God in Scripture is El Gibor, the Mighty God. One occurrence of this name stands out. In Isaiah chapter 9, El Gibor is the name given to the promised Messiah. Jesus is that promised Messiah. He is God incarnate. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wise as serpents and downright infuriated. I know that's not a Bible verse, but that might be what happens to us right now. This is Wretched Radio. We're called to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. In other words, we're supposed to understand what the pagans are up to. How do they think? What's their worldview? Where do they come from? Why? So that we can tear down strongholds, so that we can confront them with the truth, so we can engage with them, hopefully in a mostly amicable way, in a gentle as doves kind of way. However, there are two ditches I think we can fall into when we make an effort to try to be aware of what the culture, what unbelievers are up to. I think there's, once again, here it is, the pendulum swinging into two ditches. All I do is study what's going on out there. I'm just consumed by it. I'm constantly swiping and scrolling and looking for. I've got to be up to speed. I listen to podcasts. All I do is hear about all the bad stuff that's going on out there. And there's no shortage of that, is there? On the other hand, I'd rather not know anything. I would just rather live peaceably among men and not be aware of any foolishness that is going on in the world. Might I suggest both of those are ditches? I think both of those are extremes. I think that we need to figure out, and everybody's going to come up with a different scale system and how they measure their time and being aware of what is going on so that they can be more effective in sharing the gospel. So you do that for you. I will make those decisions for me. I will also make them for Jimmy because, well, his decision-making ability is quite questionable right now. What happened to your head?
I got a bad haircut. That's what happens when you give zero input and say, do whatever you think.
Oh, dude, you didn't.
Not the end.
You didn't even give her a number?
No, I didn't.
Just have at it?
Yeah.
Well, what do you expect?
Well, at least I didn't get pictures drawn in my head.
You didn't get any like the Atlanta Falcons symbol on the side of your head.
That's right.
But you look like a 14-year-old.
I do. My whole side of my head is shaved.
That's the cool look.
I guess.
Don't you know? That's the way the hipsters do it. And they left it long on top.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I went, your barber.
Mm-hmm.
English, first language?
Yes.
Okay. Probably know the word blend. They could probably figure out the definition of that and make it happen on your head. Because it's sort of like, it's just whoosh, and then poof. That's the technical terms, by the way. And boof, that's what you got. So I'll make these decisions for Jimmy, who's, well, at least momentarily impaired in decision-making. But we should, I think, to a degree, be aware of what is going on with the world. I think with the church, we should be knowing what is happening inside of the church, whether it's our denomination or not. Because we are supposed to be salt and light. We need to be, at least to a degree, aware so that we can rightly speak truth and dismantle the foolishness, the sinfulness. We're called to do that. And we have an opportunity. This will make you, I think, wise as a serpent, but it might just infuriate you. You might not want to be gentle as a dove. And I think that there's an element of that that is actually necessary. Why? Because what you're about to hear is very unrighteous. I've seen this in evangelicalism, that we can have a tendency to sound really nasty when it comes to confronting some of these issues, like the one you're about to hear. On the other hand, we can be so soft. Well, you know, we don't know exactly what's been going on in this person's life, and we don't know how we'd respond if we were in the same situation, and hey, maybe somebody's working on them. And it's like, okay, I get that. We want to be power under control, aka meek, but there are some things that people do where I think a little righteous indignation is demanded. I can't imagine that what you're about to hear makes God go, well, you know, some people, probably the parents, that's childhood stuff. I think unrighteousness to this degree calls for us to say, this is a perversion of the Christian faith. That's what this is. It is a perversion of our faith. And once again, this is another one of those ditches we can fall into. We can just keep receiving these, seeing these stories, hearing these speeches. You're going to hear an announcement inside of a church in a moment. And just keep absorbing it and absorbing it and absorbing it. I think that's out of balance. I don't want to go to the other ditch and be just constantly harping on everything. Boy, that's a sour grape Christian, isn't it? That's just such joylessness. Always just being mad at everybody. That balance, it ain't easy. Let's see if we can find it, courtesy of a United Methodist preacher from New York. It's actually not New York. I think it was Rochester. It was, Rochester, New York. So Northern New York State. This fellow is donned in a robe. It almost looks like, I don't know what to call this, other than if you can imagine, it looks like a monk's robe, but it's white. So it's got kind of that cowl neck sort of thing going on with a rainbow stole. And on the rainbow stole, it has a dove. Now that should really bug us. You know, I mean, it's yikes. You're calling yourself a Christian pastor and you're promoting something the Bible clearly forbids. And then you put Christian symbols, specifically of the third person of the Trinity. Oh, I don't think that it was intended to be the bird that Noah sent out to discover whether or not they could get out of the ark. I think it's supposed to be the Holy Spirit because, well, they've kind of kidnapped that symbol, haven't they? And this fellow, as you're about to hear, he's going to explain to his congregation that he has begun transitioning. Is this tragic? Of course it is. You've got somebody who's sinful, broken, and damaged. No question about that. Flipped in their thinking, needs a ton of help. But this is an individual who has an audience and who is trying to persuade that congregation that his confusion is somehow sanctioned by God. That is wickedness. I always think that there's a good distinction to be made when you're dealing with folks who are promoting sinfulness. There are those who are just in the movement. I think that's the harvest field. But I think those that are trying to propagate wickedness, they're trying to rewrite the Bible, that's a different camp. That's a different class of people that I think deserve and demand a different kind of response. I'll even go as far to say a more severe type of response. If you know somebody who's transitioning, they're confused, obviously, they're unregenerate. Well, we want to win those people and help those people. But that's not the same person who then gets into a pulpit and tries to tell the congregation that his parents, who do not affirm his decision to transition, are clearly, well, it's inferred, pretty straightforward that, well, you know, those fundies. This is a man who really, really, I don't want to say that there shouldn't be any kid gloves used, but this needs to be denounced. This is evil. Not only is John Wesley offended because he's a Methodist pastor, our God is offended by this. Let's see if we can be wise as serpents and respond to this rightly.
Are my parents okay with this? Absolutely not. They texted me this morning and they asked for me to tell you all that they do not support me.
Now that's he's setting it up. This is Greg Boyd. This is a clever way of getting people's emotions involved. His parents don't support him. Oh, those parents, they should be supporting their child. Now, of course, if he went on to say, because I just want you to know I'm transitioning to becoming an axe murderer, that might bring some clarity to people where they realize, well, of course your parents shouldn't support you, but this is a ploy to gain sympathy so that when you hear that he's transitioning, you joy because, oh, the poor guy doesn't even have his parents on his side.
And that they have chosen their convictions and their beliefs over supporting their child.
How dare they? Oh, wait a second. That's what we're supposed to do. I forgot. That's exactly how it works. I love my kids. But if it's contrary to what God says, I hold and affirm those convictions first place. That's what Christianity is. Now that he has set the emotional table, let's see if we can learn to understand, to interact, and call to repentance. Next on Wretched Radio.
Here's a question. When's the last time you heard of a ministry making everything free? That's what happened this year at Fortis Institute. For years, we sold our books and our studies, all of our resources, because that's how we kept the lights on. But this year, we closed the warehouse. Everything we produce is now completely free. We made a decision. We're going to trust God to provide through faithful partners who believe in this mission. We'd rather give everything away and trust Him than hold back truth because someone just can't afford it. And it's working. 300,000 Play the Men booklets distributed on campuses. 3 incredible campus visits. Millions of views on YouTube. Our podcasts are in the top 5% worldwide. Dr. Greg Gifford's new book was released in 600 radio stations, 120 TV networks, all carrying our programming. And the Fortis Plus app, well, it's on every streaming platform. Right now, every gift you give through the end of the year is matched dollar for dollar. Just go to FortisInstitute.org right now and make your gift count. Double your impact today. Your son asked to use your cell phone yesterday, and for just a split second, your heart stopped. And it wasn't because of what you thought he might find. You're careful about that, but because of what you knew he wouldn't find. Evidence of a man actually living for Christ. See, our kids don't care about our Sunday morning Christianity. They watch us when we think no one's looking. They notice when Dad disappears into his office and locks the door. What if your son could actually see a father who's genuinely free? A dad whose private life matches up with his public faith. That's not a fantasy, it's an actual reality because men experience that transformation every day when they stop trying to manage their sin and let Christ kill it instead. Todd Friel's Play the Man shows you exactly how that works. There's no gimmicks, there's no quick fixes. It's just full of biblical truth about how God transforms men. Play the Man by Todd Friel. It's available right now as an audiobook, an ebook, and video series only at FortisPlus.org. Hey, look, some battles, they're just too important to lose. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something? Without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it. If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at FortisPlus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at FortisPlus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at FortisPlus.org. Stop surviving and start living.
Attributes of God. What does God's patience look like? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." God is not hurried, nor has he forgotten his promises. God will bring about the fulfillment of his eternal plan in due time. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Good thing for Jimmy, I'm a talk show host, which means I know everything. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I think I can help you with your hair.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Find some product. You can ask your teenager. They got some sort of product. And then rather than combing the long top down, spike it up. Do the cool thing. That's what the kids do these days.
It's a little long for that.
Yeah. There's product for that type of the type of disaster you've got going on up there.
I got to get some skinny jeans first.
Everybody you walk by will go, "Oh, poor guy. Must be about 40. Kind of going through things." Did I mention this is Wretched Radio? I'm going to give a hearing to, well, it's hard to say a United Methodist pastor, but indeed he is in Rochester, New York, announcing to his congregation he is currently in the process of transitioning. this is so blasphemous. Why are we torturing ourselves? I want to hear the guy's argument. I haven't listened to it yet, by the way. I couldn't do it twice. So we're going to hear it together. I want to at least understand, so I can understand the confusion, so that if I ever meet somebody like that, I might know some stuff. As you recall, he set the table by informing the congregation his horrible, terrible parents. They actually chose their Christian convictions over supporting their son. Oh, that's a nasty ploy, isn't it? And for a pastor to say, my parents have chosen the Bible over my decision to think I'm a different gender. He set the table so that you're now on his side. Let's hear his reasoning.
Everyone gets nervous when there's a special announcement from the pastor. I'm not leaving. Hold on to that. I'm going to hold you to it. So rarely do I, did not get into ministry to talk about myself or my personal life, but sometimes there are things that happen in a pastor's personal life that is going to find its way out into ministry. And so I am inviting you to join me in a season of creative transformation for myself, and I think for all of us. Imagine, so I get to announce with joy that I'm transitioning. I'm affirming and saying to all of you that I am transgender.
Woo? We got a woo?
So, and so the best way to put this is that I'm not becoming a woman. I'm giving up pretending to be a man.
Okay, there's an argument. There it is right there. What's wrong with that? It assumes that you can just flip-flop, that what you think in your brain is what makes reality so. And so he brings to an argument the conclusion, and he states the conclusion as if it's fact. That's bad logic. It's bad arguing. It's effective. I'm not going to be transitioning to become a woman. I'm just going to stop pretending I'm a man. But dude, the question remains, what is a man? There are biological issues. That is most certain. How do we rid ourselves of that obvious fact, especially when we're supposed to trust the science? Second of all, you've got some cultural issues that determine what a man and versus what a woman is. And then you've got, of course, the Bible telling you what is a man and what is a woman and how we are to act like men and act like women. He's simply overlooking what nature states emphatically. Dude, you're a boy.
What will change? Thank God you have never chosen me as your pastor based off of my appearance. Amen. Amen. I was waiting for that.
Now, there's no distinction between appearance and who you are. Your appearance speaks. Your appearance obviously isn't who you are, but it does reflect who you are, what you think, and what your priorities are, don't they?
None of you ever judged me, or that was not part of the intake process of me being your pastor, was because of how my face looked.
Therefore, because you didn't judge my looks, whether I'm handsome or not, you shouldn't be judging me about this. You don't judge those types of things, equating one with the other. Fallacious.
My body, or how long my hair is, or my clothes. Because at the end of the day, we know that clothes are just fibers. They do not carry an anatomy with them.
This is just dreadful. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Culture, this is so ridiculous. Of course they do. I know that it might not last forever, but that's why we have, you know, women's departments, men's departments. Typically men wear this, women wear that. And that's happened, I'm pretty certain, in every single culture ever, that there's simply a difference. Why? Because natural law states emphatically there's a difference between boys and girls. And so this is clever, I guess. It's just not good reasoning.
So to say that something is girls' clothes or boys' clothes, well, they don't come with a reproductive system.
Okay, again, clever, but nonsensical, really. Clothes do have genders. Now, here's where I confess to you, it can get tricky. Different cultures have different norms. That's why one of the things that makes a man and a woman is culture itself. When a culture decides this is how a woman typically dresses, we conform to that because we all know that it represents that gender. And so this clever little clothes don't have reproductive systems. Yeah, you're right. They don't. But that has nothing to do with whether or not they identify you as a man or a woman.
Amen?
No.
So what will change? My voice. It might go a tad higher.
Why? Whoa. Voices don't have reproductive systems. Oh, see what I did right there, Jimmy? Voices don't have reproductive systems.
It's his argument.
Exactly.
Pronouns she, her, but I'm not going to be pronoun police.
I'll bet you will give it time.
Okay. Because I don't think that anybody will misgender or mispronoun out of malice. This is a process. It's a transition. What will change is my full name. I'm taking on for me Fiona's middle name so that we have that in common.
Hold on. Jimmy, I don't know if you've heard this, but names do not have reproductive systems. Why do you need to change your name to a girl name? There's no difference. Yeah. Just call yourself it, thing, whatever you want. But don't say that one has genders and the other doesn't.
What may change is that we might become known within the community as an even safer space for people who have felt marginalized.
Define marginalized. And again, just replace one sin with another. I know there's a difference between being an axe murderer and somebody who thinks they're a different gender. But if you're presenting yourself as something that you're not, that's sinful. And so if we simply replace that sin, his argument, with any other sin, punching somebody in the nose, his arguments all fall apart. He's simply assuming that it isn't at the very least broken that you're confused about your gender. And again, I will make that distinction. There's a difference between an individual who would be confused about their gender and a guy like this who's trying to make the argument that you and I, like his terrible parents, should give up on our biblical convictions because of the way they feel.
I'm in the category of what they call asexual. I've been that way since we've all been together.
I just didn't tell you.
Is that I am not... I'm not living my life in such a way that I am looking for romance. And that's okay. We all have to live the ways that we live.
Well, in other words, you get to determine what is moral, what is right. This is expressive postmodernism. This is I feel this way on the inside. Therefore, you people on the outside need to affirm what's going on the inside. And of course, we hear the double standard all over this, that, hey, we shouldn't be judging about genders, and because it's what I think that I am, but I'm going to be wearing girls' clothes. My voice is going to go higher. I'm changing my name to a more female name. It's totally inconsistent. What do we do with somebody like this? I think it's a mixed bag. Clearly confused. Clearly lost, clearly unregenerate, clearly seeking to deceive, clearly looking to advance a sinful agenda. And that makes him different than the person who's merely confused. We call this out. This is shameful. And we should, if nothing else, be saying to a man like this, please, Change the name of your church. Turn it into some sort of social center. Knock yourself out It's interesting, isn't it? All of the Christian symbols and trappings with none of the Christianity. Sad. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.